World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Bill Gillespie's Sunrise Natural Food on the Talk Station, Talk 650 KSTE. Now, here's Carrie Nosler.
Carrie Nosler here for the second hour of the Wide World of Health. Thanking you so much for joining us today. And we have the opportunity now to learn a very, very practical, logical, well-researched, well-thought-out, obviously, program that can help you lower your cholesterol with essentially just lifestyle changes. Important things that you can eat every day, activities that you can engage in that can help you in a very natural way do what is the logical system as far as your body is concerned in terms of taking in the proper substances, getting the proper ammunition it needs to do the self-regulating as far as putting your lipid levels in order so that your cholesterol, the low-density lipoproteins, the high-density lipoproteins, everything is working the way that it should without you having to endure the potential side effects of some of the medications that are available today to do those same kind of things. To help us do that, a very, very practical and interesting book called Cholesterol Down, 10 Simple Steps to Lower Your Cholesterol in 4 Weeks Without Prescription Drugs. And the person giving that information today is Dr. Janet Brill. She is a registered and licensed dietitian nutritionist, exercise physiologist, certified wellness coach, has been published in the International Journal of Obesity and the International Journal of Sports Nutrition, as well as in the popular press, and giving interviews to people like ourselves here on the Wide World of Health. Dr. Brill, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Carrie.
It's interesting reading your book, as so many people actually that have been on the program before, that experts like yourself that actually became motivated to do the kind of work and write the information that they put down as a result of some incident in their own life, and that's exactly apparently what happened to you as well.
That is true. It's exactly what happened to me. Well, I'm a nutritionist that specializes in cardiovascular disease prevention, so it was quite serendipitous because I've been counseling people for years, and I started to notice stories or anecdotal reports among my patients about problems they were having with the statin or cholesterol-lowering medications. They couldn't tolerate the side effects, or they weren't ready to begin taking a lifetime medication. These are drugs that you have to take every day for the rest of your life to work. So my patients started asking me if there was a natural approach to lowering cholesterol, you know, via foods and exercise. And so I decided to do some research on that, but really what got me truly interested is more of a personal story, as you alluded to. And at this time, I went and had my own blood checked and was quite shocked and concerned when my LDL, my bad cholesterol, came back very high. And the reason I was upset was because my father had his first heart attack at 45 and ended up dying of a heart attack several years later. So I was at high risk. But I didn't understand why my cholesterol was so high, because I'm a marathon runner, and I've been a kind of a semi-vegetarian for years and years, and I thought I was doing everything right. But apparently I wasn't. So I hit the books, and it was, as I say, quite serendipitous, because at the same time there was some cutting-edge science coming out called natural combination therapy, which involves combining individual mm-hmm. foods or exercise that have been proven scientifically to lower bad cholesterol, but the idea or the magic word is to combine them all together, and that magnifies the cholesterol-lowering effect such that it equates to a statin medication. So I tried that.
I'm going to say, too, but it's kind of hard as well, telling your patients, you know, having to explain to your patients all the information you're giving them, and obviously it hasn't worked for you. So it was nice that you took that information and then put it in a form that showed that, yeah, it can work for you because it worked for me.
Well, and I wanted to make this plan not only based on sound science, which I think is very important to seek and to write the truth about diet and health, which sometimes I question about some of the books that are out there, self-help books on this topic. So I wanted to write a book based on truth, but I also wanted it to be practical. So I took the science and I made it practical. I based it on a I put this steps together, and then I based it on a Mediterranean style of eating, which I've found that is the easiest to follow, so to speak, that I've seen among my patients, because you can really still enjoy the good things in life. Much easier to eat a Mediterranean-based diet than some of the other diets out there for heart health. So, again, the plan, I wanted it to be doable.
and it is doable. And a couple of comments. And thinking about this interview coming up, it was interesting that I heard a couple of things and read some things, which certainly not only support what you're doing, but echo some of the ideas that you really should look at trying to do things naturally first. There was a commentary from a doctor from Tufts, actually, and it was said to the extent, look, before we start doing the medication and the other kinds of therapies, which not only have side effects but are quite costly, we should look at more downstream therapies, you know, in terms of trying things that will affect you before you already have or dealing with the problem itself. And then a commentary by another physician, which was quite interesting, talking about the use of cholesterol-lowering drugs. And he says, you know, really, if you look at it statistically, if you're already healthy but have some degree of higher, let's say, lipids, the evidence really isn't that strong that it's really going to help you in the long run. And essentially, that's what we're asking people to do, is to take this for the rest of their life rather than, again, adopting things like lifestyle strategies and changes. And that's obviously what you try to do. We don't make this necessarily a commentary on statins, you know, whether they're bad or this or what, but nonetheless, it's a therapy that may not have to be employed, as you showed, if one were to make the logical lifestyle changes.
True, and honestly, though, even looking at statin drugs, which are life-saving drugs, and if you're high risk for heart disease, then you should be taking a statin medication because they save lives, there's no question. But I think that it's not a question of drugs or diet and exercise. I think we're looking at that the wrong way. It should always be a healthy lifestyle, diet, and exercise in addition to your medication, and that is the ideal way of preventing heart disease, and that's if you're at high risk. But what about the millions of people out there that have high cholesterol but are otherwise healthy? Should they be taking a statin medication, or should they be trying a healthy lifestyle first? And I think the answer is always to do diet and exercise first and live the healthy lifestyle. We're all at risk for heart attack and stroke, which is clearly the number one health issue facing Americans today. And I think that everyone, young and old, should be eating healthy foods, heart-healthy foods, and exercising. And by the way, the National Cholesterol Education Program has a set of guidelines out there for physicians for treating patients with high cholesterol, and they are instructed to put their patients on a diet and exercise program first and foremost, and only if that doesn't work should they begin with the medication.
Unfortunately, though, it's been the other way around for too long. I mean, probably part of the problem is that the healthcare system doesn't allow for people to get as much time and attention as they should, or that you would do with the patient. It's much easier to put someone on a medication than it is to try to counsel them to make lifestyle changes.
This is true, and this is, I think, the American way. It's much easier to take a pill than to change your lifestyle and to get off the couch and to, you know, watch your diet and to eat healthier foods or make healthier food choices and to exercise every day. That's somewhat difficult for a lot of people, unfortunately. But again, getting back to responsibility, considering that we have an epidemic of heart attacks and strokes, which kills close to a million people a year. Actually, a million people have heart attacks. Another 700,000 have a stroke every year. Putting that clearly as the number one killer of men and women, all Americans should take responsibility for their own health, and that means eating healthy foods and knowing your risk factors. And the most significant risk factor, which is another reason I wrote the book, is your bad cholesterol, your LDL cholesterol. I started to notice that many of my patients did not understand this message. They know that most people know that they should have a total cholesterol under 200, but people have no clue about their LDL or bad cholesterol number. And I wanted to get that message out to all Americans to know that LDL number, and an optimal goal for your LDL number should be less than 100 for most people. And if you're at high risk, should be under 70.
I think most people forget, though, that Obviously, you need the right ratios, but there is good and bad in all things. I mean, obviously, it's there for a purpose. The body needs some LDL, or we couldn't survive, just as we need the LDL. And you point out that there's even different factions of the LDL. I mean, the bigger the LDL,
right,
the better it is.
The bigger, you want them big and fluffy, because that makes it more difficult to get to squeeze into the arterial, in through the arterial wall. And that's what really instigates the process of atherosclerosis, is that LDL infiltrating the arterial wall. So you want to do everything you can to have a low number of the LDL particles floating in your bloodstream, and also do what you can do to change the particle composition or characteristics such that it's bigger and fluffier. And one way to do that is walking exercise or aerobic exercise. And some new research that I wrote about in my book out of Duke showed that regular aerobic exercise can actually change the makeup of the LDL particle to be bigger and fatter and fluffier, which is a much healthier composition or shape for the particle, LDL particle, to be.
So this is one instance where being big, fat, and fluffy is good.
Isn't that nice? Probably the only one.
So we'll take our break at that point so you can contemplate big, fat, and fluffy. And that's the walking, incidentally, part of Dr. Brill's 10 points here in terms of things that you can do to help your own cholesterol down, as it says in the book. Carrie Nosler here, Wide World of Health, Talk 650 KSTE. We've got more great information coming up.
With a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where.
Listening to The Wide World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Bill Gillespie's Sunrise Natural Foods on the Talk Station, Talk 650 KSTE. Now back to Carrie Nosler.
Dr. Jenna Brill, our special guest. I'm Carrie Nosler. This is The Wide World of Health. Second hour of the program, we're talking about Dr. Brill's book, Cholesterol Down, 10 Simple Steps to Lower Your Cholesterol in 4 Weeks. Janet, you had mentioned at the beginning of the first segment here the rationale behind the kinds of things that you've included in the 10 steps is, again, as you said, the combination therapy. Talk a bit more about why that's such an important part of your program.
Well, because what scientists have discovered is that if you take one food, for example, oat bran or oatmeal, that has a fiber in it called beta-glucan that has been proven in the scientific literature to lower LDL cholesterol significantly. If you take that and combine it with another cholesterol-lowering food or exercise, for example, an apple, which contains pectin, which has been shown to lower cholesterol, and if you combine them together, that's going to magnify the effect. So that is the idea behind the cholesterol-lowering effect. So that's the idea behind combination, which is, again, the magic word. And it's not just with food. Physicians use combination medical treatment. For example, you combine in the new cholesterol-lowering drugs that are coming out in the market now, combine, say, for example, Zetia with a statin drug like Lipitor. And if you combine these together and into one pill and you take that, then it's going to magnify the LDL cholesterol-lowering effect because each works using a different mechanism. So it's the same principle with food. And it's actually quite amazing because when you combine several foods together, and of course I threw everything but the kitchen sink in, I figured if four or five foods are good, then 10 has to be better. So I put 10 different steps together that have each been scientifically proven. And if you try and get most of them in on a daily basis, you will have a significant LDL lowering effect that equates to taking a prescription medication only without the side effects.
Now, when you take a statin to lower your LDL, you can improve the ratio of LDL to HDL, but you don't really raise the HDL, as I understand it.
That's true.
In your program, when you're lowering the LDL, does it also help to raise HDL?
It certainly does, and I think that's kind of interesting because I don't know if you know about the new drug that they had just pulled off the market that was in production, so to speak, but they had to pull it. It was an HDL-raising drug, and it had some really bad side effects, raised blood pressure, I believe. So they pulled that off the market. It's tough to find or produce a medication that raises HDL, but what people don't know is that the best HDL-lowering medication is aerobic exercise, and so, and of course, I've included that in my program. So the HDL raising ability of aerobic exercise is really related to the volume of aerobic exercise you get in. For example, miles walked. The more miles that you can get in per week, the greater the effect, the HDL raising effect. So, which is
and
a wonderful thing.
And you're
thing.
You're very up to date in the book. Obviously, you've got the latest information because you also showed that while walking is something that you recommend, if you can walk at a brisker pace, that would actually even be better. That I know there's been a debate over what level of exercise, what level of intensity is good, but it does appear that if you can step it up a bit, you're going to do better.
That's absolutely true. And again, my recommendations are based on scientific evidence, and I think that that is important for people to know. And some new research showed that the intensity of exercise, that faster actually is better. So if you can pump up the volume, so to speak, or you know, rev up your pace, that's going to be better. And then what I find fascinating, and I'm hoping my readers do as well, is really the molecular basis, the science behind that, and it has to do with something called shear stress. And the faster you get that blood flowing through the arteries, the better it is. It actually promotes the cells of the lining the arterial wall. It promotes the production of our own internal type of antioxidant, which is a beautiful thing because heart disease or the process of atherosclerosis we now know is an inflammatory disorder. So any way that you can increase decrease the inflammation going on in the in your arteries is going to be a good thing. So one of the ways to do that is to get the blood flowing quickly through the arteries, hitting the artery walls.
All right, so talking about some of the foods that you've included, obviously these are things, when you look at it, that everyone could like, should like, and certainly should have no problems with it. You start off with oatmeal, and again, it's going to be pretty clear that the common theme running through a lot of the food you have are the different types of fiber, increasing fiber overall, and then the types of fiber, and then having the proper fats in the diet. They all seem to be a kind of a common theme on
That's
all of
correct.
The
yeah.
foods. But let's start with our good old oatmeal. It certainly got a lot of attention over the past and has stood the test of time.
It has stood the test of time, but getting back to the fiber, I want to just throw in a real quick comment about
sure.
that. Fiber is really nature's cure for cholesterol, but I think and Americans, by the way, do not get enough fiber to promote good health. They only take in maybe half of the recommended amount. But I think what people don't know is that there's only one special type of fiber out there that really targets that LDL or bad cholesterol, and only a few foods on the planet contain that special cholesterol-lowering fiber. So five of the steps in my book are foods that contain that special cholesterol-lowering fiber. And the first one is oatmeal. So oatmeal contains, as I mentioned before, something called beta-glucan, which is a soluble viscous fiber that kind of works like a sponge in your intestine, and it soaks up the cholesterol, and then you excrete it. So oatmeal is a fabulous way to start your day. Oatmeal is also a whole grain, so it's going to be higher in dietary fiber than the refined grains. And it's a special food, and it's easy to get in. And oats contain antioxidants, like I mentioned before, how important it is to get in a lot of antioxidants. And oats contain a special type of antioxidant that is unique only to oats, and that's called evanthramide. So, and by the way, if you're sick of oatmeal, I mean, some people get very sick of eating it every day, you can have an option of eating another type of grain called barley, which also has this a high amount of this beta-glucan, that special cholesterol-lowering fiber. And so if you're sick of your oatmeal, you could throw some barley in, maybe a cup of barley soup. I have a great recipe. By the way, I have a lot of recipes in my book that contain many of the foods that I recommend. And so barley is a great way to get in that beta-glucan, and another method if you just don't feel like eating your bowl of oatmeal.
Now, you also mentioned that if you wanted to, you could just eat the oat bran. You'd be getting the beta-glucan. There's other things that wouldn't come with it, but you'd certainly up that amount.
This is true, and you can, but I discourage that because there are things in the whole grain. If you're eating just the oat bran, you're only eating the outer bran layer, which contains the beta-glucan, but as I mentioned before, there's good stuff in the kernel, the oat kernel, that you want to get in as well. So a lot of my patients are like, well, can I eat my instant oatmeal? And honestly, you know, there's different types of oatmeal out there, and I encourage all of my patients and people, my readers, to become an oatmeal connoisseur, and there's... I think the best kind in terms of nutrition is to eat the least processed oatmeal, which would be the steel cut. The problem with the steel cut, though, and it's worth the time. It takes a long time to cook compared to instant, but it's certainly worth it if you have the time because of the taste and the texture. If you've ever eaten steel cut oatmeal, it's really quite delicious.
Yes, it's delicious.
Yeah, but for my people that just don't have the time and want to just zap the instant in the microwave in the morning, which honestly I do as well with the busy life that we all lead, it's common to do that. How you can help in that regard is to throw back some oat bran on top of the instant oatmeal. By the way, you want to get the plain oatmeal instant, not
the
additives.
You've got to watch the sugar.
Yeah, forget the sugar. You can put in your own sweetener, but it's going to be much less than the food companies do. So I recommend getting the instant that's that is not just plain, and then adding back in the oat bran, and then you'll be getting enough of the that special fiber as well as the whole grain oats. But quickly.
And speaking of your recipes, though, you do have a recipe for cooking it in a crock pot overnight,
which
is a wonderful way.
You throw everything in at night, turn it on, and then you wake up to a nice hot bowl of oatmeal. And another thing that my patients like to do is to get a whole bunch of steps in out of the way in their bowl of oatmeal. So you can throw in other stuff with the oatmeal and get these steps out of the way. And another additive that's quite tasty in the oatmeal would be flax seeds. Now, flax seeds are...
Well, let's stop at that point because I want to be able to comment more on it. We're coming up on a break.
Oh, okay.
And so we can include all of those and not slight anything. Janet Brill, our special guest, Cholesterol Down. We're giving you a recipe here for lowering your cholesterol, and especially the LDL. We've got our bowl of oatmeal, and now we'll find out some other goodies that we can add. And as Dr. Brill said, just get a lot of things out of the way of one fell swoop. Wide World of Health, Talk 650, KSTE.
This is Wide World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Bill Gillespie's Sunrise Natural Foods on the Talk Station, Talk 650 KSTE. Here again is Carrie Nosler.
We're thanking you for joining us today on the Wide World of Health. Dr. Janet Brill, our special guest. We're talking about her very practical and simple, as it says, 10 simple steps to lower your cholesterol. And it is simple. If you like to eat, it is simple, believe me. We started with oatmeal. We mentioned flax seeds, Janet, when we left. And obviously, flax has certainly come up in the world in the last several years as far as being a positive addition to the diet. And you certainly tout its benefits as well.
I do. Flax seeds are fabulous. Before I get into flax seeds, though, let me just tell your listeners that if they would like more information on my book, I have a website. It's cholesteroldownbook.com. But back to flax seeds, this food is an ancient crop. Humans have been eating them for thousands of years, and they are incredibly nutritious seeds that, by the way, have to be ground up because they are very hard to digest due to their hard outer shell. So what you want to do is make sure to grind them up. I use a coffee grinder, and what you can do is grind up a whole bunch and then keep them in a sealed plastic container in the freezer and then just take out a couple tablespoons every day.
What you mentioned, though, as well, that you got to be careful in doing that because you said they're like 35% at least fat?
Yes, but
and it goes rancid very quickly.
That's true. So I like to keep them in the freezer and to grind them as you, on an as-needed basis, so to speak. But you did mention the fat, which is very important because they are the best plant source of what's called ALA, or the short-chain version of the omega-3. And I think everyone's heard about the health benefits of omega-3 fats. So flax seeds are just chock full of this heart-healthy fat. And the beauty of omega-3 is that it actually doesn't affect your LDL, but what it does do is it promotes heart health in other ways. It's anti-inflammatory. So as I mentioned before, heart disease is an inflammatory condition. So anytime you can eat foods that are anti-inflammatory, that's a good thing. But omega-3s also lower your triglycerides, which is a huge problem for a lot of people. And not only are omega-3s good for your heart, but they're good for your brain and your eyes. It helps prevent macular degeneration, which is a leading cause of blindness.
You mentioned a special type of fiber, too, the lignans that are unique to flax, I believe, or at least in content.
That's true. And lignans, so flax seeds are kind of a three-part package. They contain the soluble fiber that I'm talking about, that special LDL or cholesterol-lowering soluble fiber. So they have that. But they also have another component. They have the fat that we talked about, the omega-3, but they have this third component that is called lignin, as you mentioned, which is what's called a phytoestrogen. It's a kind of plant hormone, and it's a very, very powerful antioxidant. It's anti-inflammatory as well, and it's a blood thinner. So a blood clot is actually the final stage or the final step in lethal step in a heart attack or a stroke. So anytime you can keep your blood thin, that's a good thing in terms of preventing a heart attack or a stroke. So plant lignans are and flax seeds are very high in this lignin. So that's something else to keep in mind when you're eating your flax seeds. Beautiful food.
I've got to mention, too, I went onto your website again, cholesteroldownbook.com.
Yes.
I just got to say this. How did you survive being raised by someone who was a prominent stage and screen actor and a psychoanalyst?
You know, you're the first person to ask that. Well, I guess I had a different upbringing than most.
I would say that the fact that you are where you are shows that you are a very well-adjusted person.
Well, I had good parents, and I had a mom that was a psychoanalyst and worked very hard, so she was a good role model and very educated. And then, of course, there was my dad, who was the actor that sadly died of heart disease, which may be one reason why I went into the field of health and nutrition, because of what happened to my father. Which, getting back to my message to all Americans, and that is that heart attacks and strokes kill more people each year than all forms of cancer, diabetes, accidents, and lung disease combined. So this is clearly what most people are dying of, and I think I'd also like everyone to know that simple lifestyle changes can almost entirely prevent cardiovascular disease. So this is something that you don't have to get. You can just do some simple changes in your life. Eat healthy foods, get a little exercise in, some light exercise in every day, and that will affect your LDL or your bad cholesterol and bring that down.
And you point that out so positively in the book as you go through the different virtues of eating the different things that you mentioned. Now, another food that contains a good kind of fat, the almonds, which are part of your program as well.
That's true. Almonds, what a tasty food and a great snack, but I think people need to remember that a little goes a long way, because like all nuts, almonds are very high in calories, so you want to eat them by the handful, not the bowlful. But again, they're another incredibly nutritious food. They're crunchy, they're sweet, they taste great, and they contain a nice dose of vitamin E, which is, again, a powerful disease-fighting antioxidant. And the beauty of vitamin E is that it gets inside the LDL particle. So and prevents what's called the oxidation of LDL. So and I think people don't understand that it's that oxidation of the LDL, kind of like the process of rusting on your car, that is what instigates plaque buildup. So if you can eat those antioxidants and exercise and promote the cells' production of their own antioxidants, that's a good thing, because that stops the oxidation of LDL, which would prevent plaque buildup.
Yeah. Now, I like most everything that you've got in here. A couple of these things, I don't say I don't like them. I just don't use them. I don't find them that appealing. Mm-hmm. And one was the margarine with the phytosterols. Couldn't I just take a phytosterol supplement? I don't really like I don't like the taste of margarine.
Absolutely. And phytosterols, speaking of another kind of another mechanism of lowering your LDL, what a phenomenal discovery. Phytosterols are a natural product. They are found in fruits and vegetables, but just not in, in a high enough concentration to affect the LDL. But scientists have been able to concentrate this now into food products, which is I recommend the margarine simply because the science is used the margarine that was the first food product to come out containing phytosterols, but now there's a whole slew of products on the market, and if you don't want to get the calories or you don't like the foods that contain the phytosterols, you can take pills and supplements, and my favorite is Cholestol. So what you want to try and do is to take about three of those pills or eat the margarine or another product at two meals out of the day. So, for example, you could take the Cholestol at breakfast and then at dinner. And it works like a charm to bring your LDL cholesterol down because it interferes with the cholesterol's absorption through your intestinal tract. So it kind of works in a similar mechanism to that drug, that new drug Zetia, only there are really no side effects with phytosterols. So that is something that should be in everyone's medicine cabinet to fight and bring down your LDL cholesterol.
Now, other you mentioned Metamucil, beans, apples, all having special fiber type properties. That help again in the so the body doesn't absorb the cholesterol and ushers it out or what have you. But all of these again are part of the synergism that you mentioned in the beginning.
That's a good word, synergism. That's exactly right. And people, what I have is a checklist at the end of my book because it's kind of hard to remember if you got in all these steps. And the idea is, and how I explain it to my patients, is to try and check off as many of the steps as you can in a day. If you kind of think of it as if you get only five out of the 10 steps in one day, it's almost like you were to be taking the 10 milligrams of Lipitor and you cut the pill in half in terms of the cholesterol-lowering effect. So the idea, again, is to try and get as many steps in on a daily basis as possible. And the more, of course, the better.
All right. We'll talk some more about the different kinds of steps that Dr. Brill recommends. Again, a very well-written book, very easy to understand and to follow, which is really, really nice. We'll talk about her and her website, give you that information as well, an update so that you can check it out for yourself. I'm Kerry Nosler, Wide World of Health, Talk 650, KSTE.
Listening to The Wide World of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Bill Gillespie's Sunrise Natural Foods on the Talk Station, Talk 650 KSTE. Now back to Kerry Nosler.
Dr. Janet Brill, author of the book Cholesterol Down, our special guest today on The Wide World of Health. Thanking you all so much for joining us today for our two-hour excursion every Sunday. Reminder as well, we are streamed live on the Internet, and also the program is podcasted. So if you'd like to hear what Dr. Brill had to say at a later date, you can simply go onto the website, kste.com, and click on the podcast section and scroll down to the appropriate date, and you can listen to the program as well. You can tell other folks about that, and they can participate as well and share in what has been shared here today on the program. Diana, one of the things that you include in the book, and it's been one of my favorites as well in all different ways, and that's garlic. Adding it to your cooking or taking it as a supplement. And the reason I said the supplement because you're a fan of the Wakanaga product, Kyolic, and I am too. You point out rightly that the research that's been done has been sponsored by these folks, but nonetheless, it's been done under the right circumstances, been published in peer-reviewed journals, and it seems to stand up to the test of scientific scrutiny as far as being a good thing to add to your program.
Well, you know, it's gotten a bad rap recently, garlic, and I have to tell you that I still stand by my recommendation to include garlic in the diet simply because it's I think one of the nice tasty parts of a Mediterranean style of eating, which I believe, as I said before, is the best and easiest way to eat for heart health. So, and roasting garlic, if you've ever roasted it in the oven, put a little olive oil and roast in the oven for an hour or so and spread it on bread in, as opposed to butter, it's quite delicious. So if you can get the garlic in and flavor your food with garlic, then you're not using salt and butter, as much salt and butter, which are two additives that you really want to cut back way back on in the kitchen. So, and I just love the taste of garlic, and I think a lot of people do. So whether it lowers your LDL cholesterol significantly continues to be questionable and needs obviously more scientific research. But as I say in my book, and I come right out and say that's the most controversial step, it's tough to eat enough of the raw garlic in your diet to really make a dent. And there are other things besides LDL cholesterol lowering that garlic does. I mean, we know for sure that it's a blood thinner, which is good, and it's high in antioxidants as well. So again, it's interesting that you brought up garlic, and I stand by my recommendation.
Well, and there's no doubt that it stood the test of time as far as people eating garlic and onions. I mean, I think the first recorded strike in history was when the Hebrews wouldn't work anymore because the Egyptians cut off their supply.
Well, it has a long and colorful history. You know, they called it Russian penicillin because during the First World War and the Second World War, they used to put garlic on the sores and cuts and things because it is a natural antibiotic, and that we know is true. So, and I don't know. I just think that thousands of years of writing about garlic's medicinal properties has to have some kind of basis behind it. So, and again, I just like the idea of the Mediterranean style of eating, and I think garlic plays a huge role in that. So I included that, and a lot of my recipes in my book contain garlic.
Yeah, you didn't. I realize it's not just a food in that sense, but the olive oil. I think you mentioned sometime during the talk, but it also figures there, and there's new research on that. The extra virgin that it has a certain amount
polyphenols.
Yes. Polyphenols, that's exactly what I meant to say.
It's a very heart-healthy fat. And you want to make, it's a monounsaturated fat, which is different from the omega-3. So, but you want to make olive oil the main fat in your diet because that's really the cornerstone of the Mediterranean style of eating. And that's and it's heart-healthy, and boy, does it taste good. So, and we have a problem in this country with something called the ratio between of omega-6 to omega-3. We eat way too much omega-6. So we want to try and cut down on our omega-6 intake and bump up the omega-3. And one way to do that is to make a monounsaturated fat, which is a completely different type, which is olive oil, the main fat, and then include in the omega-3 via flax seeds and also a soy, which we haven't talked about, has omega-3, and fish, and the fatty fish. So by doing that, you can affect that omega-6 to omega-3 ratio in a healthful manner.
Now you did mention soy as one of your foods, and you talked about the positive things, and you talked about some of the negatives. Food allergies. I've talked to allergists on this program before who say that the incidence of allergy due
that's
to soy
one of the top.
Is way up there. You mentioned also for some folks it might be a problem with the thyroid, but you didn't really mention perhaps trying to use it in a more traditional form, which I understand eliminates some of the negatives as far as the soy and emphasizes more of the positives.
Meaning, what do you mean by more
like miso, tamari? You do mention the tempeh, but it was cultured soy as opposed to just taking out the protein fraction, for example.
Yes. Well, actually, it's the soy protein that is the healthful, the component of soy. So you don't want to take out the
No, but you wouldn't take it out. It would be there in the tempeh. It would just be in a cultured form.
Right. Well, you know, I like to focus on the positive. Of course, if you have allergies to soy, then you can't eat it. But in general, I think soy is the ultimate health food. So for those that can eat it, it's just a wonderful, wonderful food. It's a perfect protein that's going to rival any animal protein in terms of the amino acid content. But it lacks that unhealthy healthy baggage that comes along with animal protein, like dietary cholesterol and that artery clogging saturated fat. So whenever you can substitute soy protein for an animal protein, you are doing a good thing for your health, because you're going to lower your intake of saturated fat and cholesterol. A lot of my patients are not thrilled with the idea of adding in soy, and they have a difficult time. So I think the easiest way to start is to substitute cow's milk for soy milk. Wherever you use cow's milk, you can substitute in the soy milk, and that's kind of an easy way to begin.
So if you do all of these things, if you put all of these steps together, as you said, what kind of progress can you expect?
You will have miraculous results, which is why another reason that I wrote the book, because people, and I noticed this with my patients, that people are results-oriented. So I wanted to write a cholesterol book in the manner of a diet book. Like if you decide you want to lose weight and you go buy one of these diet books and you follow it to the T, you're going to lose weight. Well, I didn't think that there was a cholesterol book out there on the market that worked in this manner. So what I've done is if you follow this and you have your blood tested before, and then you go back in just 4 weeks and you follow this diet and my plan, it will work, and your LDL will decrease significantly. So that's kind of a nice reward for your and motivation for making difficult lifestyle changes.
And 4 weeks is not a very long time when it comes to trying to get some kind of benefit for your body.
Not at all. And it's a great thing, because it's very motivating. People like that when they see, wow, this really works, and it's not that hard, you know, to just add in. And that's another point that I wanted to make, is that I didn't have such great results in the beginning when I was telling people what they couldn't eat. So I decided to take this other approach where I focus more on what people should eat, healthy foods that they should add in. And that's a more positive approach, and people like that better. It's almost like food prescriptions rather than me. So I don't kind of go, I don't really focus on what people shouldn't eat as much as what people should.
I think that's a very, very positive thing. The website again, cholesteroldownbook.com. Dr. Brill, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing with us today. You've written a very, very practical and usable book, and obviously your enthusiasm is enthusiastic, and I just hope that your work does well from this point on as well.
Thank you, Carrie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. That's it for today on The Wide World of Health. Again, next week, don't forget, 2 more hours, 12 to 2 every Sunday, for great information like you've had today. Have yourself a great week. We will see you back here again, 12 o'clock next Sunday.
Talk 650 KSTE.